It's showtime, folks.
HTF Radio and thehometheaterforum.com presents the DVD Marquee with your host, Jeffrey Rosato.
Hi, guys. Welcome back to the program. Nice to have you all back, and nice to be back myself after an unintentional sabbatical last week, the week from hell for some of you out there. I know it was for me. Tax time, 2009. Didn't procrastinate as bad as I had in recent years because it is just not worth it, but put it off long enough to be annoying. But anyway, and then I had to hightail it back to my real gig, working at the local ABC affiliate, which I'm tickled to death about, even though it's just part-time for right now. But I had three really, really long days at the gig. We've had a lot of bad weather here in the southeastern part of the United States. Those of you that keep up with the news have heard about it. Lots of tornadoes, lots of wind damage, but knock wood, not here at home base for yours truly. We also had the NBA Finals on ABC, which always has a large audience in our market, around 4 to 5 million people. No pressure. But anyway, I am just now getting settled into my cozy little home studio here, and we've got a really good show for you guys with some killer dealer new releases to talk up, including the debut of the ABC comedy Hope and Faith, making it to DVD for the first time. We've also got the world's most beloved secret agent, whose archives are getting a much-deserved makeover in our classic Hollywood spotlight. And I've also got the second film from an up-and-coming director who I'm so honored to call a buddy. His name is Robert Hall, and his follow-up to the critically acclaimed Lightning Bug is up ahead. But in our lead-off position, she's an Oscar bridesmaid no more, folks. Academy Award winner Kate Winslet stars in the home video debut of director Stephen Daldry's The Reader.
Excuse me, I'm looking for Hannah Schmitz.
Schmitz has left.
Left? Did she say where she was going?
Silence in the court.
Nancy!
I'm going to take these cases one by one.
My name is Hannah Schmitz.
You joined DSS in 1943.
They were looking for guards.
I was a law student. I remember very clearly.
Societies think they operate by morality, but they don't.
Each of the guards would choose a certain number of women.
In the evening, Hannah Schmitz asked them to join her. She was making these women read aloud to her.
You keep telling us to think like lawyers. What are we trying to do?
We are trying to understand.
Look at that woman.
Which woman?
The woman you're always staring at.
I don't know which woman you mean.
Did she acknowledge the effect she had had on your life?
She had done much worse to other people.
You were picking women out and saying you and you and you have to be sent back to be killed.
No, no.
I haven't spent much time thinking about the past.
It doesn't matter what I think. It doesn't matter what I feel. The dead are still dead.
A love affair between a female trolley car conductor and an underage teenager in late 1950s era Berlin is at the heart of one of the best films of 2008, making its DVD debut in the Weinstein Company's The Reader. It's based on the acclaimed novel by Bernard Schlink, and I hope I'm getting that right, but you put a little Dr. Strangelove on it and you can fake any German name, right? Anyway, but a simple tale of forbidden love for young Michael Berg turns out to be more complex than he ever suspects in an affair that stretches out over three decades with a very dark secret emerging over the years. Let me tell you guys, if we were in an alternate universe where Slumdog Millionaire was still in development's hell, The Reader would have had a Dr. Zhivago-type sweep at the Oscars. What an amazingly beautiful, heartbreaking, brilliant slice of cinematic wonderment. And I just fell in love with Kate Winslet from her opening scene. And it is such a vital moment because she's got to take us into the heart of this lonely teenage boy or kid, as she calls him forever. So cute the way she does that. But another beautiful thing about Winslet here in this performance is despite the gruffiness, despite the coldness, there's this allure, this attraction, and it is just mesmerizing from the get-go. And I'll tell you, she reminded me of both Grace Kelly and Greta Garbo. This is a role that both of those screen legends could have played back in the day. And if this is not a tip of the hat to the pride and joy of Reading, Berkshire, England, that's where Kate Winslet was born, Trivia Junkies, I don't know what is. But as marvelous as Winslet is in this film, I have to so salute the amazing young German actor David Cross, not to be confused with the David Cross on our shores. There's a little shout out to you, Mr. Show Geeks out there. Anyway, the German David Cross barely spoke English before taking this part, and he just nails it. If we're not with him, if we don't believe in his character, which in turn has him playing the starter with the great Ray Fiennes coming out of the bullpen at the end as the closer, not only do we have no movie, Kate has no Oscar on her bathroom toilet or mantle or wherever she keeps it. So hats off to you, David Cross, who's up there with Ellen Page, Emma Stone, Paulie Litz, Anna Sophia Robb, and Josh Hutcherson as some of my favorite young actors that I've had a chance to talk about on the show in recent times. Have I showered enough love on the reader yet? I don't think so. I've got to pour some more FTD on the people that made it happen here. Stephen Daldry, amazing direction. I am putting his back catalog in my Netflix queue immediately after the show's done. David Hare, beautiful, lyrical screenplay. Claire Simpson, one of the greatest film editors ever, and this rivals her work on Oliver Stone's Platoon, in my opinion. I think she won an Oscar for Platoon, if I'm not mistaken. There's a gorgeous photography by the dynamic duo of Chris Menges and Roger Deakins, and even non-film geeks have heard of Roger Deakins via No Country for Old Men and There Will Be Blood, but Menges is no slouch with The Boxer, Notes on a Scandal, and the lovely Concert for George, George Harrison, that is. Just a few titles on his wonderful resume. And am I leaving anybody out here? Oh, yes, one more kudo, and that goes to Nico Moly, and I hope I'm getting your name right, Nico. First major film score for him, and I know it's not going to be the last. I have just got to get my hands on the soundtrack CD. This is just a lovely, lovely score. The DVD of The Reader, the standard def version, besides having superb visuals and a gorgeous 5.1 mix, also boasts some really nice extras, including almost an hour of deleted scenes, the trailer for the film, a lot of behind-the-scenes footage, including some makeup chair time with Miss Winslet, and we also go into the musical scoring end of things with that young gentleman I just mentioned, Nico Moly. Top recommendation for me, not just presentation-wise, but this is just a great film, and I do not want to hear you guys, oh, if she's not in Titanic, I don't want to watch anything with Kate Winslet, or it may have won an Oscar, but I've never heard of it. Well, you've heard of it now, kids, and if an average schmuck like me digs it, well, enough said. The Reader is out now from Genius Products and the Weinstein Company. Did I do that nice, Harvey?
What is your emergency?
Tucker tells me he picked you up on the street coming from my cemetery.
Asshole man, they tried to hurt me. Oh no, I'm already dead.
Nobody's gonna die here tonight.
Oh, God help.
In setting up our next film on the show, the horror film Laid to Rest, I am so tickled to give you guys a little insight of how I came to know the talented filmmaker behind it. About 17 years ago, I was blessed to be part of a local comedy show called Way Too Late, and that's Way spelled W-A-A-Y, which is the television station that backed it. And in the midst of our first season, we got a call on our viewer hotline from this young kid who lived in nearby Coleman, Alabama, who wanted to know if we needed any help with makeup for some of our skits. And since we could only afford a budget of about, say, $1.50 per show, we didn't waste any time in going Price is Right and going, come on down. And to make a long story short, Robert Hall went on from those humble beginnings. He took a leap of faith, moved out to Hollywood, and proceeded to become one of the industry's most talented and sought-after makeup artists. You've seen his work in everything from Buffy the Vampire Slayer to Superbad, and most recently on the Sarah Connor Chronicles program on Fox. But Robert is not just a one-trick pony. for in 2003, he returned to his old stomping grounds with another extremely talented friend of mine named Lisa Waugh to collaborate on the critically acclaimed Lightning Bug, which was a huge hit on the film festival circuit. And although it's taken a while, Robert took to the director's chair again recently for a long overdue follow-up. And to cut to the chase, and boy, cutting is quite the appropriate word for this film, Laid to Rest is the scariest and creepiest horror film I've seen since Frank Darabont's The Mist. Bobby Sue Luther stars as the film's most unusual, quite mysterious, and extremely appealing lead, who's on the run after escaping both a locked coffin and a creepy bad guy who looks like a cross between, say, Phantom of the Opera-era Lon Chaney and a recalled Terminator model. I'm not a big fan of slasher films, the recent lights of which have done nothing but make me go, why is this crap making money? But Laid to Rest turned out to be a real surprise. I could have done without some of the excessive violence, but it's extremely well written. It's got characters you really grow to care about, and some great acting, including the amazing Kevin Gage, who's done some really good character roles in films like Heat, Knock Around Guys, Blow, and he was beyond stunning in Lightning Bug, which I mentioned earlier. And he's the complete opposite of the character he played in that film. In this film, he's not a character you love to hate, but a character you love to love. Other great performances in the film include Sean Whalen, one of my favorite modern-day character actors, Jana Kramer, who some of you might recognize from both Friday Night Lights and the rebooted 90210, and, oh, be still my heart, Lena Headley, late of 300, and Sarah Connor, the latter program being where director Robert Hall and the British Beauty hooked up creatively. Extras on this Anchor Bay release are so well done, including a terrific making of that rounds all the creative bases very effectively, some deleted scenes that were rightly trimmed, and a pretty funny gag reel. One that will test your courage in leaving the living room lights down, and one of the best modern-day horror films I've seen in the last few years, Laid to Rest, is out this week from Anchor Bay. Speaking of which, it's time to lower our anchor, nice segue, Rosato, and take a bit of a breather, but when we return, some laughs courtesy of hot new releases by funny men Jim Carrey and Adam Sandler, the debut of a recent ABC comedy series that's gone on to have somewhat of a cult following thanks to a lady named Kelly Ripa, and da-na-da-na! Yes, we'll talk Bond, Blu-ray James Bond. All that and more in our DVD potpourri segment when the DVD marquee resumes. This is HTF Radio.
Over a man, are you?
Okay, you have to stop watching this.
I gave the sacred and the sinful the best years of my life. And how do they repay me? With a cheap, evil twin murder. Suicide. They didn't even have the decency to give me brain cancer.
Don't worry. You'll get another show. You're a famous soap star.
I'm a 28-year-old has-been.
You're 33.
Would you shh? Everyone knows a woman over 30 can't get arrested in Hollywood.
And yet you managed. Twice.
Some old-fashioned comedy repartee between Emmy nominee Faith Ford and talk show goddess Kelly Ripa from one of the most underrated sitcoms of the last two decades, in my opinion, kicking off the potpourri segment of the DVD marquee for this week. Jeffrey back with you on HTF Radio. Thanks so much for hanging around. Hope and Faith is a show whose devoted following has been craving this show on DVD for a long, long time. And hats off to Lionsgate Home Video for finally getting it released. This is a show that I got paid to watch back in the day via my old job as a master control operator for the ABC affiliate, a job which I just recently returned to, as you all know. I would plan my dinner break around Hope and Faith when it was on. I remember making a food run, or my coworker buddy Brian would grab me something if I couldn't break away. I'd get my little TV dinner table set up because spilled beverages and electronic equipment do not mix, right, Murray? Anyway, that's an end joke. That's for my buddy Murray, the greatest television engineer in the world, but another story for another time. But before I go too insider here for you all, let me just say that if you have never seen Hope and Faith, or perhaps dismissed it, at least rent it, because you're going to be very surprised and you're going to be very entertained. Kelly and Faith had the opportunity to share screen time with a lot of great guest stars, and quite an eclectic batch at that, including Robert Wagner, Jenny McCarthy, Roger Clemens, Mark Consuelo, my fellow Latino, Mark Consuelo, love that last name, Jacqueline be still my beating heart, Smith, my favorite angel by far, and she still looks great, Tony Curtis, Kathy Lee Gifford, and, oh, can't leave out the man, one of my broadcasting heroes. There's no way he's 78 years young. I'm talking about Regis Philbin, who is perfect as a smilingly deceptive used car salesman. And by the way, speaking of Hope and Faith, I had a chance to talk with one of Faith and Kelly's co-stars on the show, this extraordinarily talented young man named Paulie Litt, and he is going to be the guest on one of our future marquee VIP shows, and I'll tell you guys more about that a little later on in the program. But once again, Hope and Faith, Season 1, terrific program. It's out from Lionsgate. Let's see, what else do I want to talk up here, folks? Let's see. How about something that I wasn't crazy about? Okay, kind of even it out, you know, good with the bad and all that. Anyway, and I hate this because I like Keanu Reeves a lot. But The Day the Earth Stood Still, the 08 version, isn't just an unnecessary remake. It's a pretty bad piece of filmmaking. Great special effects, but that's about it. But if you feel differently, it's available in both standard and Blu-ray formats from Fox, with the latter boasting a digital copy disc and its soul-saving grace in the form of a third disc. This is the three-disc Blu-ray set that I'm talking about here. Sorry, I thought I'd clear that up here. The three Blu-ray set, I should say, has the original 1951 The Day the Earth Stood Still in glorious high definition. And to tell you the truth, my advice would be to buy the special Blu-ray edition of that film itself. Keanu, better agent, dude. Yes, man, the Jim Carrey film. This is much better than I anticipated. A back-to-basics role for Jim, reminiscent of Liar Liar a little bit. As entertaining as Jim Carrey is in this film, I really, really enjoyed Zooey Deschanel, who's become a huge favorite of mine in recent years, and it's nice to see her back in a comedy role. Yes Man is from Warner Brothers, our friends at the mighty WBHV, and the two-disc set doesn't contain a lot, but you've got a blooper reel, a couple of featurettes, and if you get the two-disc edition, a digital copy disc. Bedtime Stories. Another funny man who made the grade with movie audiences last Christmas, Mr. Adam Sandler. I know he's an acquired taste for some of you all out there, but I'll tell you, even in the movies of his that I don't care for, I love this guy's spirit. This one won me over. Bedtime Stories. Very, very cute film. And did we ever think we'd see Adam Sandler in a movie we could show our kids under the age of 7? We are living in an age of miracles, kids. Captain Sully, the pirate ship deal, you gotta believe. Anyway, Bedtime Stories is adorable, sweet, wickedly funny film, and Disney must have had a lot of faith in it to do well at the cash registers, because they have issued it not only in its regular one disc and two disc editions, but you've got a very limited edition three disc Blu-ray. It contains a regular disc, you got your digital copy disc for the one for all you geeks out there, and you've got the spiffy Blu-ray. Sensational value at less than 30 bucks, but if you're on a budget, the single disc and double disc sets of Bedtime Stories will do you just fine. But I'll tell you, it looks killer diller on Blu-ray. Hey, hey, hey. Yes, welcome to the Home Shopping Network. Okay, more stuff for the kiddies here. Easter Carol VeggieTales. And you know, I hope I don't turn any of you off that love the VeggieTales series. And maybe it's just me, but the characters, the way they're drawn, the way they're animated, they frighten me. And I hate to say that because, you know, of the spiritual lessons. I'll tell you what, let me start over again. I want to say right here, I want to make this clear before I wind up on page 5 of the Post in New York, God forbid. I think the heart of what the VeggieTales folks are trying to do with these cartoons, features, or whatever, it's beautiful, but I guess I'm just an old-school Bible story guy, an old-fashioned animation guy, and I'm talking about the Bible story books that we used to look at in the doctor's offices. Remember how cool those were? Those of you who remember those things, yes, I'm getting old. Anyway, sorry about the side trip down Sentimental Lane, but Easter Carol VeggieTales is not bad for the underset. My apologies to the folks at Big Idea Video for not plugging this in time for Easter, but man, can't we plug stuff like this all year long? I mean, do we have to wait until the lights of Easter and Christmas to talk up stuff with Jesus and Mary? And I don't think so. So anyway, there you go. Speaking of which, a couple more spiritual-themed goodies, these on Blu-ray, since we're talking spiritual subjects here. And one is the cinematic history maker, The Robe, starring Richard Burton in his first major role as the centurion who wins the robe of one Jesus Christ in a little gambling expedition under the cross. Nice delectable, but not under the circumstances, let me tell you. Anyway, most of my fellow film geeks know this, but for the rest of you guys, The Robe was the very first film to ever be released in widescreen. And this is one in which you're going to need to have some sort of widescreen TV to appreciate it because it's in 2.55. That's the aspect ratio. So if you're still stuck with a standard definition television, this is going to look so film strip from third grade science class. Lots of great extras on the Blu-ray for The Robe, including an intro from Marty Scorsese and featurettes on everything from CinemaScope to a making of. One last Blu-ray biblical epic to preach about, and that's The Passion of the Christ. And this is one I still have not had time to see as of yet, but I cannot wait to block out some time so I can watch the both the director's cut and the theatrical version. This is not a movie to clean house to and surf the net with. I want my complete attention devoted to it like I do The Ten Commandments or Ben-Hur, because I take my epics viewing, especially biblical epics, very seriously. Perhaps too seriously, but anyway. Lots of bonuses. Mel Gibson chatting away on a commentary track. You've got a biblical subtitle track, a making of, and so much more. And a 2 Blu-ray set, by the way. And although I've just seen a few of the opening minutes from the first chapter of the film, my goodness, it has got heaven-sent video and audio. Duh, as we expected no less for the Blu-ray of a film called The Passion of the Christ. So anyway, both The Passion of the Christ and The Robe are both out now from 20th Century Fox Home Entertainment. How about it, Jason? Do I want to keep on going here? I got my future partner and producer in training, Jason, hanging out in my makeshift recording studio today, and I've been yakking away here for a while, so keep on going until James Bond time, dude. Okay. Has it been too long? Okay. More stuff on our backlog DVD and Blu-ray piles here as we continue on. Schenectady, New York. Would you guys believe there's a YouTube video on the pronunciation of the word Schenectady? Age of Miracles, as I was saying, kids. Anyway, Schenectady, New York. Schenectady. New York. I'd like to buy a vowel, Pat. Schenectady, New York. Ah, yes. The Civil War equivalent in terms of dividing movie critics. But for me, I'm on the positive side. I'm not sure I completely understood the damn thing, but that's what replays are for, right? And I was so intrigued and so turned on by this film, I am definitely coming back for seconds. And I am so disappointed that I didn't get a chance to feature this movie the way I wanted to, but we got it quite late. I beg your pardon, we got it quite late from the folks at Sony. But this is just a terrific piece of out-there filmmaking from Charlie Kaufman, who's just as good in the director's chair as when he's typing up a storm on his word processor. One of my favorite writers in the business. And he looks like he's got a great career ahead of him in the director's chair if he wants it. Great performances from an amazing cast, including Philip Seymour Hoffman, Catherine Keener, Michelle Williams, and many, many more. Lots of great bonuses that the Kaufman, Spike Jonze faithful will lap up, and maybe somewhere down the line. We'll include this movie in an underappreciated movie show. We'll do a little theme show. Have some folks like Adam Kempinar from Film Spotting drop by. And I'll tell you, if it had not been for Adam and his co-host, Maddie Robinson, who were very big on this film, I would never have known about it. And I want to thank them so much for bringing it to my attention. By the way, filmspotting.net, another great online radio show. Do check it out, filmspotting.net. There's a plug for you guys up Chicago way. You know, we talked about The Reader earlier, and if you want a good companion piece for a do-it-yourself double feature night to support that film, here's a tip from yours truly. The Boys from Brazil. Those of you in the know remember this 1978 movie is one of the best from that year, and it's still a pretty scary story. Big screen good guy Gregory Peck going evil as a Nazi doctor who wants to clone Hitler, but not if Sir Laurence Olivier has anything to do with it. Phenomenal cast here. You've got the wonderful James Mason. I love you, Lolita. Haven't I bought you enough things, Lolita? Sound more like Inspector Clouseau than James Mason. I'm sorry. Anyway, also in the cast, a very young Steve Guttenberg and Denholm Elliott, the good guy from the Indiana Jones movies. Pretty much bare-boned as far as extras, but the picture and monophonic sound on this Lionsgate reissue is pretty good. 7 pounds. This is the Will Smith movie I plugged on our last regular episode via my conversation with co-star Michael Ealy, and wasn't that a fun show? I had such a good time with Michael, and if you haven't heard that episode, or debuted Marquee VIP episode, by the way, it's in the archives on our homepage, which I'll talk about a little bit later on. But 7 pounds, very attention-grabbing, very, quote, it'll make you think, unquote, kind of deals, along with Michael and Will. There's the lovely and equally talented Rosario Dawson, who keeps getting better and better in every movie she's in. And another favorite of mine in the cast, Woody Harrelson. Decent bonuses include deleted scenes, a ton of featurettes, and a commentary track from director Gabriel Muccino. Make 'em laugh. Oh, yes, I have been meaning to feature this on the show for a long, long time. I've had this since January. Anyone who knows me knows I live for documentaries about filmmaking. I love entertainment retrospectives, and this is a real treat. This is the PBS documentary on the history of comedy in all aspects of the entertainment industry, stage, screen, and television. It's a little too fast-paced at times, and I wished it had been more than 6 hours long, but I think I'm being just a little too hard on it. I think the average John Q. Plumber and the missus and the kids will love it just as it is. This is like the That's Entertainment equivalent of comedy documentaries with Billy Crystal assuming the Donald O'Connor role. Did this, you guys. When I was writing down my thoughts on this particular documentary, I had completely forgotten that Donald O'Connor actually inspired the title of this documentary via a song from a 1950s MGM musical called Singing in the Rain, I think you might remember. Anyway, let me conjure a bit of it up here for you via my iTunes if I can here.
Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Don't you know everyone wants to laugh? My dad said be an actor, my son. But be a comical one. They'll be standing in lines for those old honky-tonk monkey shines. Or you could study Shakespeare and be quite elite. And you could charm the critics and have nothing to eat. Just slip on a banana peel, the world's at your feet. Make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh, make 'em laugh. Make them laugh.
As big and beloved as Singing in the Rain is, as far as movie history, bless his heart, I don't think Donald O'Connor really got his due. But we who loved comedy, movie musicals, we know how good he was. The man who inspired the title of the great PBS documentary, Make 'em Laugh, the documentary that you've seen on PBS, is available right now from Rhino Home Video. Finally, a couple of very special Blu-rays of two dynamic nature-based films that we got to spread some sugar on here. And one is Fly Away Home. This movie, I'll tell you guys, I was dumbfounded by its lack of success. It pretty much made its money back. I think it made around $30 million at the ticket windows, but it deserved so much more. This is the real-life tale of Bill Lishman, a Canadian man who tried this bold experiment to see if he could help both geese and birds migrate with a little help from his lightweight plane. And this is just such a lovely, sweet-hearted film. It co-stars a very young Anna Paquin. Oh, she was so young. Where is the time gone? And it also co-stars the, she was so hot. She still is hot. Dana Delaney from China Beach and Desperate Housewives fame. And also, cannot forget Jeff Daniels. So good in this film. Another huge fave of mine. Fly Away Home is a must for Blu-ray lovers. Beautiful camera work from the legendary Caleb Deschanel. And not only will it show off your high-def system, it will touch and win your hearts. Finally, bringing our potpourri seg of the show to a close here while we're on a theme, Winged Migration. This is a very critically acclaimed documentary look at bird migration that was shot over 4 years, I think it was. And if you're one who turns up your nose at documentaries, do me a favor, do yourself a favor, drop your guard for this one, please, and you won't have to thank me later, because the joy you're going to get at seeing birds in flight and beyond the way the camera work is utilized in this movie, that's going to be more than enough to make me feel good. It's yet another demo-quality Blu-ray, and it will make for a great second attraction, another do-it-yourself movie night at home. Both Winged Migration and Fly Away Home are out now from our buds at Sony. It's time for us to take a little flight, but a short one, commuter style, but I'm going to be back with one heck of a big finish as we talk some Blu-ray James Bond classics in our Classic Hollywood Spotlight. And for the first time ever, I'll be sharing listener mail with you, and I'll also give you an update on our spring fundraising drive. More of the DVD marquee in just a moment. This is HTF Radio.
This is gold, Mr. Bond. All my life I've been in love with its color, its brilliance, its divine heaviness. I welcome any enterprise that will increase my stock, which is considerable.
I think you've made your point, Goldfinger. Thank you for the demonstration.
Choose your next witticism carefully, Mr. Bond. It may be your last. The purpose of our two previous encounters is now very clear to me. I do not intend to be distracted by another. Good night, Mr. Bond.
Do you expect me to talk?
All together now.
No, Mr. Bond, I expect you to die.
How many of you, drunk or not, done that at a party, huh? Gotta love Geet Frabe, I believe is how you pronounce it. Geet Frabe and Sean Connery from that clip there. Welcome back, everybody. This is the DVD Marquee on HTF Radio. Thanks so much again, as usual, for downloading us up, subbing, RSS, whatever. I'm Rosado, Jeffrey Rosado, and what a way to finish this one out, kids. Our Classic Hollywood Spotlight, paying homage to one of the great movie franchises of all time. That clip from 1964's classic Goldfinger is not a bad way to usher in some thoughts from yours truly on Volume 3 of the James Bond on Blu-ray series from 20th Century Fox Home Video. Can't believe they sent this to me. I'm still feeling as high as Bond in that backpack thingamajig from, You Only Live Twice, possibly Goldfinger, anyway. But I'll tell you what, as we go on here, let me rank the three movies in this set as far as coolness factor. And I'll do a little Casey Kasem deal here and count them down for you. Anyway, coming in at number three, surprise, Moonraker. Weakest of the bunch, but it's got some killer competition. But still, are you going to say no to Loris Childs as Holly Goodhead? The freedom of online radio. I can actually say the word Goodhead, but I'm still blushing, damn it. Anyway, it's a little dated, but I like Moonraker myself. The Blu-ray transfer isn't bad. It's a heck of a lot better than the standard def, I will say. And like all three of these movies, you get everything except the Q crew coming into your house and optimizing your television. There's a solo commentary on this disc from Roger Moore, and that's Sir Roger Moore nowadays. Documentaries on the making of the film, skydiving test footage, home movies from the Ken Adams archives, features on the stunts, the original promotional film, and that's just for starters, gang. My second fave in the James Bond on Blu-ray Volume 3 set is, well, take it, Shirley Manson, you rock goddess, you. You know, I saw Garbage in concert not long before that movie came out, and Shirley Manson, bless her heart, she actually apologized for being supposedly a little off on that song. And she has the cutest little Scottish accent, and she says, "It's a very difficult song to sing, you know." And let me tell you, she was being too tough on herself because she and the boys nailed it that night in Murray, Kentucky. My friend Stan and I went on a road trip to see Garbage, and I hope we're going to get another record from them soon, or a solo record from Shirley, because she's great. Anyway, back to the Bond Blu-ray, back to the matter at hand. Sorry, I just love Shirley Manson so much. The World Is Not Enough. It's kind of neck and neck with the Die Another Day as far as my fave Pierce Brosnan effort in the series, but I do believe this does nudge out by another day. So exciting. Great location work. Sophie Marceau, one of the sexiest Bond girls ever, as is Denise Richards. And I gotta say, while it's on my mind, Bond movies are not Shakespeare, you overcritical dweebs. Yeah, she's not Honor Blackman and she's not Diana Rigg, but I thought Miss Richards did just fine in her role as Christmas Jones. For you know, Christmas comes, but only once a year. Love that line. Robert Carlyle from The Full Monty in the recent 24 movie. Good villain here. And bless his heart, the much beloved and much bemissed Desmond Llewellyn is Q in what would be his final performance. And it's still bittersweet to see his last scene in this film. But, you know, it wasn't going to be his last turn in the role. He was planning on coming back, but he was killed in a tragic car accident. But he will live on forever in the Bond movies. Where do I begin as far as extras on the Blu-ray version of The World Is Not Enough? Well, two commentaries for starters, a press conference in Hong Kong, deleted scenes, trailers, alternate video options, the making of that amazing opening sequence in the film, the boat chase, remember? Maybe my favorite sequence of any Bond movie, or favorite opening sequence, I should say. And another garbage plug here, the video for One More Time, Miss Shirley. And Shirley Manson is not enough. Well, let me tell you. You know, I have handled myself nicely in front of the few performers and directors and folks in the business that I've had an opportunity to talk to in my lifetime. Because, you know, when you think about it, they're just like you and me, folks. But I swear to you guys, I think I would absolutely go so seventh grade in front of Shirley Manson. And I think my filmmaker buddy, Robert Hall, whom I mentioned earlier in the show, the director of Laid to Rest, out this week on Anchor Bay. You know, there's another plug for you, Rob. Robert, I think, knows Shirley. And Rob, personal message. When I make it back to L.A., Santa Monica, Hollywood, they're all the same. Anyway, when I make it out to the coast next year, you may just want to have a video camera on standby if Shirley and I cross paths in your presence, because, buddy, it'll be the best party video ever and may rival even the best I Love Lucy episode. Anyway, self-depreciating time over. Anyway, number one in my thoughts on the James Bond on Blu-ray Volume 3 series. You know what's at number one.
Goldfinger. Goldfinger, a triumph in thrill-making cinema entertainment.
The man with the mind.
A three-time winner for Fleming's Secret Agent 007.
Who are you?
My name is Pussy Galore.
Isn't it customary to grant the condemned man his last request?
You've asked for this.
We've had some great Bond movies since 1964, but really, honest to God, does it not get any better than Honor and Sean, Blackman and Connery, Bond and Pussy? I can't believe I just said that, much less wrote it. Anyway, freedom! Goldfinger, Goldfinger! As Shirley, not my Shirley, but the early Shirley, one of the greatest action-adventure movies of all time. Shirley Bansey, there we go. Sorry, Miss Bassey. And for those of you who do not have Goldfinger yet in your collection, standard def or Blu-ray or whatever, not going to talk down to you. In fact, I envy you, because you first-timers will have a joy that I'll never have again. But in the end, once you've lost your Goldfinger virginity, it's going to be so nice to have you in a club where we can make great in-jokes about this film. Despite its age, Goldfinger is one of the best Blu-ray transfers I have ever seen. Whether you buy it as a part of the set or on its own, it is a must-have. The sound is amazing, the picture even better, and the bonuses, well, geez, here's just a sampling. Two commentaries, a 1964 interview with Mr. Connery from the set. You've got an open-ended interview with Honor Blackman. This is the kind of deal that TV stations used back in the day. They got to make the reporters look like big shots and acting like they were in the great lady's presence when they were in the station bathroom all the time. Photographs, original radio, and TV ads, making of, and it just goes on and on and on. If you're a little short on spare change, all three movies in James Bond on Blu-ray Volume 3 are available separately, but take it from me, they're much cheaper as a threesome. No dirty jokes, please. I've done enough vaudeville for tonight. My thanks to 20th Century Fox Home Video for this wonderful surprise. I am honored to have it in my collection. And also, a little extra plug for further kindness, there are two additional James Bond on Blu-ray sets available. The Volume 1 includes Dr. No, yes, the original with Ursula Andress and that still heart-stopping bikini. Die Another Day, that's the one with Pierce and Halle Berry, that is. And Live and Let Die, boom! Love Paul McCartney. And Volume 2 contains For Your Eyes Only, From Russia With Love, still an amazing movie. That scene with Bond on the train, oh my God, Robert Shaw, classic. And last but not least, in Volume 2 of James Bond on Blu-ray, Thunderball! You gotta love Tom Jones doing the theme song to that one. Also, standalone versions of both Quantum of Solace and Never Say Never Again on Blu-ray, which I talked up recently, are also out. All the Bond on Blu-ray you can eat, people, from 20th Century Fox. Let me try that again, folks. From 20th Century Fox Home Entertainment. Thanks, guys. For those of you who know your music, you probably recognize the sounds of Benny Goodman and his orchestra, and that is a bit of a track called Air Mail Special, which is kind of a suitable lead-in for this final segment of the show, which is going to kick off with me doing something that I've been wanting to do for the last 3 years, but have not slowed down enough at times to do, and that's to read some listener mail from you guys, especially in light of the donations plea that I made on our last episode. But we'll talk more about that in just a second. But I have a trio of letters here that I've picked out from the several that have come into the electronic office here. And this first one is from Chris, who writes me via the home theater forum, which is the home of HTF Radio, part of the site that gave us our start about 3 years ago. And Chris writes, Dear Jeffrey, I've listened to quite a few of the shows and have enjoyed them, but I do have a few suggestions. Uh-oh, here we go. First, the show, while HTF approved, doesn't tie back into the community. The show sometimes already has titles that have already been reviewed by official HTF reviewers. He's talking about on their forum. And Chris, if I can address your letter a piece at a time here. For starters, when I co-created the show with my good friend Shane McDonald about 3 years ago, it was never our intent for this show to be HTF exclusive. This is a show for everybody. I want people to listen to the show that have these tacky little Emerson Walmart-made combination TV DVD players to folks with those 72-inch plasmas on their walls or in their living room. This is a show for everybody. And since we started, my good friend Ward Presley, back in 2007, I think it was, or the middle of 2006, he got us set up on iTunes, and that's where we get the majority of our audience. We are one of the most popular entertainment / film / DVD podcast on iTunes, so it's not an exclusive HTF show. If I may go on to read Chris's letter in progress here, he writes, the show sometimes covers titles that have been already reviewed by official HTF reviewers. Instead, I might suggest that you conduct interviews via Skype or whatever with the HTF reviewers to get a better impression of their views. Chris, much easier said than done, my friend, because I have enough trouble doing the show on my own. I am a one-man operation for the moment. I do everything from look at the films to write the copy for the show. I have to hustle and grab all the interviews. I have to be my secretary and all that. I talked about that a little bit last time on the donation show, but, I wish I could, but I can't. Let's see. Let the forum drive some of the show's content and leverage. The key point here is that the HTF community needs to feel we're a part of the show and not just listening to another home theater podcast. Well, Chris, like I said, this is a show for everybody, and I don't want to exclude anyone. So anyway, Chris goes on to write, second, the show's release schedule isn't consistent, and he says, I realize that doing a weekly show is exceptionally draining, but maybe a once-a-month consistent show with sporadic special shows like the Academy Awards shows you've done thrown in would help. Consistency is very important to keeping your audience keyed in, and I feel that is currently missing. Well, Chris, if I can address that, with the exception of last week when I had tax time to worry about and my regular job, ever since January 23rd, I have not missed a week in posting the show, and there were several occasions, especially during February when we had our Oscar coverage, the Jerry Lewis special and what have you, have not missed a week. And as far as the once-a-month deal, well, let me say this. If you're going to build an audience and keep an audience, especially with so much competition out there, you cannot afford to just do a program once a month. And I am working my tushy off in order to make this show very special and to take it beyond the audience that it already has. And yes, it is draining, but the satisfaction you get creatively out of it and the potential dividends yet to come, you can't buy that. Anyway, third, consider having a co-host or a producer-type person on the side helping out where needed. What ties into my second suggestion above. A second hand doing some of the setup interviews or finding points of interest or a post of interest would help alleviate some of the burden of doing the show solo. Working on that right now, Chris, I would prefer that we have people here on a local level in my neck of the woods in Huntsville But we have had some offers of assistance from people at HTF, and that leads into... And finally, Chris concludes, please take all of the above as constructive criticism. Like I said at the beginning, I do like the show and love that you're open to publicly hearing our feedback. Chris, I appreciate you taking time to write such a long response. And speaking of help, here's a second letter from the Home Theater Forum folks, and this is from a gentleman named Neil, and he writes, Jeff, I do hereby volunteer my services free of charge to help support you in any capacity I can. If you can find things for someone in a different location to do for you, then let me know. I think your show is important, quality, and fun, and I would be willing to assist you. Let me know, Neil. Neil, I so appreciate that more than you know, and I'll be in touch, and I appreciate hearing from you. But I have saved the best for last. This is a letter from a listener of the show who listens to us on iTunes, and he's from Australia, and he writes, Hi, Jeffrey, longtime listener, first-time emailer. Firstly, thank you for all your efforts in producing The Marquee. It's great to hear someone with such passion and respect for film and television. With so much tabloid journalism everywhere, it's more than refreshing to know I won't hear any. Stuart, I appreciate that. I particularly enjoyed, as I have done each time, your recent Oscar coverage, especially the post-Oscar show. Though, as an Australian, I could be biased. I agreed with all your comments on this year's telecast. Also, as a big fan of his work on Sleeper Cell, the interview with Michael Ealy was great. I hope it creates the opportunity for more interviews once the word gets out what a respectful, knowledgeable, and passionate interviewer you are. Well, I appreciate that. I was inspired to send this email by your previous show. He's talking about the donation show. I'm sure there are many other listeners whom, like me, would only be too happy to donate to, say, a PayPal account without receiving any merchandise in return. I realize this wouldn't be easy for a Southern gentleman such as yourself, but I look at it this way. I have and am receiving something I value in return already, something for which I'd be happy to support in a voluntary fashion. Regardless, my thanks for all the shows so far and those still to come. Best wishes, Stuart. Stuart, you made my day when I read your email originally, and you just made another day as I read your letter to everybody out there listening. Folks, again, the show is not in immediate danger, but it still is. Still got a lot of things hanging over my head, and at the current time, I am auctioning off more DVDs on eBay with all the proceeds going to help fund the program. I'm going to be putting up more DVDs at the time of this broadcast, and it's a very, very eclectic batch with something for everyone, and I don't care how much you bid, although I'm not going to discourage you from bidding very high, but I will say that every little bit helps, and if you do wind up bidding and winning something on eBay via my collection, I want you to make sure that you send a note either via email at my address, which is thedvdmarquee@gmail.com, or you can send it via eBay, whichever way is fine with me, because I want to thank you. I want to know who you are, and I want to thank you personally on the air for your help. And speaking of Stuart's encouragement as far as regular donations to like a PayPal account, I'm very excited. Something I'll announce here for the first time on the show. My web guru and longtime friend, Ward Presley, is going to be creating a donations graphic on the main page shortly. We have the account set up. And folks, I don't want to be a beggar. Like I said on the last show, I'm not big on charity, but I would appreciate your help more than you know. And Stuart was talking about my so-called great interview skills. Well, they must be paying off, because, folks, in the next few shows, we have not one, not two, not three, but four very special guests coming up. One of them is in the can. As I mentioned to you earlier, a wonderful young actor named Pauly Litt was kind enough to spend some time with me via telephone from Los Angeles, and we're going to be talking about his amazing career. He was one of the co-stars of Hope and Faith. He was also in the film version of Speed Racer last year, and even better, he got to share screen time with Meryl Streep and Philip Seymour Hoffman in doubt. And we had just a wonderful conversation. But he's not the only one. We also have, from the legendary rock band Vanilla Fudge, Vincent Martell, or Vinny Martell, as he encouraged me to call him when I talked to him earlier this afternoon. Vinny is part of a brand new musical DVD that I'm going to be talking about on our next regular show. It's called Love In, and we also talked about his career in Vanilla Fudge. They were one of the great psychedelic bands of the late 1960s, and I can't wait to share that interview with you guys. This afternoon, I also had a chance to talk to a wonderful actor by the name of Jonathan Scheck, whom a lot of you will remember from a terrific little film called That Thing You Do. He has recently gotten more into the horror end of the film business, and we're going to be talking up his latest project, which is The Poker Game. And by the way, nice segue, Jonathan also had a chance to help out my good friend Robert Hall in his film Laid to Rest. And speaking of Robert, I just learned yesterday afternoon he is coming aboard. He's going to be making an appearance on the show along with his lovely wife, Bobby Sue Luther. And we're going to talk Laid to Rest. We're going to talk horror movies. And we are definitely going to talk about his salad days of being a part of a little local show that I'm so proud of called Way Too Late. So, folks, I'm telling you, it's amazing. Things are starting to, I'll put it this way, in the words of a character from the movie Almost Famous, it's all happening. So anyway, I best get moving. Lots to do, lots going on, but I'm so excited. And I want to thank you guys, not only for your donations, but for your listenership and your support, because like I said, it means more to me than you know. Until next time, don't forget MySpace, okay, I like to buy a vowel, Pat. MySpace, our blogger page, Twitter, so damn addictive, but yet again, I tell you, I don't think I've had better luck in making contacts, and if you use it for that solely, it's a wonderful thing. I post a lot on Twitter, I have fun with it, and if you follow me there, I want you to hit me back at my email, Addy. Once again, that's thedvdmarquee@gmail.com, and tell me you're a fellow Twitterer so I can make sure I follow you as well. You know, for all I know, you could be a robot or telemarketer or something, and, you know, been there, done that, hate it. Anyway, anyhow, next time on the show, more than likely, my conversation with the wonderful Pauly Litt from Hope and Faith and the Oscar-nominated Doubt. And on our next regular show, we're going to have reviews of Frost Nixon, The Wrestler, Notorious, the second season of Knots Landing. Oh, love that show. And more feedback from you guys. Please do not hesitate to write. We'll have another update on the pledge drive, and hell, maybe even a cupcake recipe if we can throw that in. Until we meet again, amigos, for the DVD Marquee and HTF Radio, I'm Jeffrey Rosado. I'll see you down the road. This is the Reader. The Reader. Okay. Some people call me the Space Cowboy. Some people call me the Reader of Love. Okay. Memories. Since we can only afford about a budget... I'm going to try that whole thing again. I'm sorry. Here we go. Who am I apologizing to? Who am I talking to?
You talking to me?
And most recently, on the Sarah Connor Chronicles. I was trying to say that three times fast. Fast. I'm going British all of a sudden. You've seen his work in everything from the... about 100,000 years for you, dude. With another extremely talented friend of mine, Dane, who's on the run after escaping both a locked coffin, I like to buy a vowel. Oh, bestow my heart. Lena Headley, late of 300, and Sarah Connor Chronicles, that's probably the reason it was canceled. It has too much of a damn title. Could have done without some of the excessive violence with a V. Gee, why is this taking so fucking long? Didn't have a problem with the first two. Help. Almost done. Almost done with this review from hell. So if you're still stuck with a standard definition TV for Blu-ray viewing, you can't blue a view of this. You can't watch a Blu-ray on a standard def set, you idiot. I want to leave that in because it's damn good writing. It's not cliched. One that will test your courage in leaving the living room One that will test your courage in leaving the living room lights. Living. What do you do for a living? Why don't you get a job? In three. That was for you, Stan. And this is finally done. Damn it.
Thank you.